Hello, and thank you for joining us for the very first Temple Baptist Church podcast for the youth. Well, this is one of many that we hope to be doing on Wednesday nights, just to give you some information and the message that we have on Wednesday night, just in case you miss and aren't able to be there. You will be able to get on the internet and download the message and hear what we talked about, and this is going to keep you in the loop. First of all, I just want to give you a couple of announcements just to keep you informed about what's going on in the youth group. The first one being on June the 3rd, we're going to be out at Tom Bartolotta's working at the car wash. So for all of you going on the mission trip this year, you are required to be at the car wash on June the 3rd, and basically we're going to be there working, washing cars, and selling barbecue and doing various other things. If, in fact, you cannot be there for the car wash that day, you need to come see me, and I can come up with some other jobs for you to do, and so that everybody has an opportunity to work to raise money for the mission trip this year. Remember, we are going to Mobile, Alabama, and if you want to go, you need to get your mission trip deposits turned in to me as soon as possible. Also, on June the 17th, this is a Wednesday, we are not going to have normal youth services upstairs. We're actually going to pile in a van, and we're going to go to the Sullivan High School where they're having the baccalaureate service for the seniors, and we're going to go and support them. And that is Wednesday, June the 17th. So if you come to church that evening, remember, we're not having normal services, but we will get in the vans and go. Let's go ahead and move on to the Bible study. And what we did on Wednesday night was out of Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. The Bible says in the English Standard Version, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, 'I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord.' And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.' Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel your brother?' The Lord said, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength, and you shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth.' Cain said to the Lord, 'My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold.' And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden." Over the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about Genesis, and in Genesis we find that it is a book of beginnings. God has created the heavens and the earth. He's created people. He created Adam and Eve. And the thing is, he created them for a purpose. You understand that you were created for a purpose. God has created you for something. You have some purpose in life. But also, we must understand that not only do we have a purpose, but we have things that we can do, that we can accomplish in life. You know that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Adam was responsible for naming the animals, and God took care of Adam. He provided food and all of the things that Adam needed. God provides for us. He provides everything that we need. The God who created the heavens and the earth and everything around us, and the God that has created us, if he has the power to create all things, then he has the power to do something in your life, to affect your life in some way. God is able to do something in our life right now, today, physically, God is able to do some great and mighty things. But the thing is, with people, we have some issues that we have to deal with ourselves. And this week we're talking about Genesis chapter 4, and we're talking about the story of Cain and Abel. And here we see two human beings, of course, created by God. They are the sons of Adam and Eve, and we see some issues that they begin to deal with. And the life question that we have to ask right now today when we're dealing with this particular Bible study is, why do I get so angry? And one of the biggest themes that we see in the story of Cain and Abel is Cain's anger. His anger towards God, his anger towards his brother. Why is it that we get angry? There's not a person alive that has not been angry at some point or another. All of us have been angry. It is a fact of life. It is something that happens. We all experience this anger. And it's more about, what do we do with it? How do you react to it? And how do you deal with it? And in the story of Cain and Abel, we begin to see how not to deal with anger. Inappropriate anger can have tragic consequences, as we see in Abel's life. So think about these questions real quick. What do people typically tend to do when they are angry? And how do you respond when you are angry? What do you think are some improper ways to respond when you are angry? What do you think are some proper ways to respond when you're angry? Did you know that there are inappropriate ways to respond and that there are proper ways to respond? That is true. When we experience anger, and it's going to happen, there are ways that we should respond, and there are ways that we shouldn't. And the thing is, most people respond to anger in a way that they shouldn't.
And there are consequences to displaying anger in such a way that's inappropriate. For instance, when someone comes in and cuts you off, it's inappropriate to flip them off. When someone in school or somewhere makes you angry, and you go and beat the tar out of them, you have now inappropriately displayed your anger.
How does your attitude affect the way you respond when you are angry? If you are angry, you're going to respond in such a way that expresses that anger. And most of the time, that's where we get in trouble. And if you get nothing else out of this message, I want you to get this and remember this. Write it down. Put it up on your wall. Put it on your locker, whatever you need to do. But understand this. If you do not control your anger will control you. If you didn't get that, let me say that again. If you do not control your anger will control you. Your attitude and the thing that happens when you get angry, it will take over, and you will do just unbelievable things, and you will respond out of anger, and in that, you sin against God. You do something that maybe you didn't want to do. You say something to somebody. Maybe you get angry with your parents, and they do something to hurt your feelings, and you get angry, and then you respond in such a way by saying something that's hateful to them. Have you ever been in a situation where you were arguing with your parents and they were arguing back with you and you ended up saying, "I hate you"? Well, that expression comes from the anger that is within in us, and we end up saying things and doing things that we really don't mean and really don't want to do, but we let our anger control us. This is kind of what happens with Cain and Abel. So let's look at the story and see what's going on with Cain. We understand from the Bible that we are supposed to give God our first and our very best. One of the things that we do at church is we tithe, and what a tithe is supposed to be, it is supposed to be the first fruits or the very first of our offering to God. So whenever I get my check from whenever I work, in order for me to give God what I need to, I give God his portion first. And then I use the rest for whatever else I'm going to use it for. But God needs our very best, our very first fruits. Now, back then, they actually worked in different manners and different ways. So Cain and Abel actually presented different offerings to God. Abel's offering was accepted by God, and Cain's wasn't. And Abel was a shepherd, and he tended to sheep, and he found an unblemished lamb, and it was a firstborn, and it was a very important
offering, and he sacrificed that to God. But with Cain, he was a farmer, and he had some grain, and he offered that to God. And really, Abel brought his first fruits to the Lord. He brought the best to God, and he gave out of his heart. Cain also brought what was good, but he didn't give out of his heart. You see, it is a heart thing, and it is how you give. It is what you do with that gift. You know, most people, a lot of times, we will give but grumble about it. You know, I'm supposed to tithe, so I'm going to give this even though I don't really want to. But it is a matter of the heart. We give to God because he gives us so much, and we owe back to God, so we give God something. If you don't have any money, what can you give God? Well, you can give God your talents, your abilities. You can give back to God so many different things that God gives you. And in this instance, Cain and Abel were giving to God, but God accepted Abel's offering, but God didn't accept Cain's. And so this is the beginning of Cain's anger when he wasn't accepted by God. And the odd thing is, Cain isn't mad at himself. You understand, Cain doesn't say, you know, oh, well, I'm so mad at myself because my heart wasn't right with God and I didn't do this right. Instead, Cain's anger burned against Abel, his brother, because his brother was accepted and he wasn't. So he was jealous of his brother, he was angry with his brother, and all for the wrong reason. And do you ever wonder why we so often fail to take responsibility for our own actions? Cain didn't look at his own deal and say, well, this is my fault. He blamed it on everybody else. And a lot of times we will take the things that we do and we'll blame it on our parents, we'll blame it on our siblings, we'll blame it on all of these other things and circumstances and people, when in fact the reason that it happened to us is because we did it. We need to take responsibility for our own actions. Cain didn't, and God actually gave Cain an opportunity. And if you look with me in verse 7, it says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. And so God gives Cain an opportunity and says, look, you're doing the wrong thing here, but you can make the right decision. But what does Cain do? Instead of changing his attitude, Cain unleashed his anger on his brother. You see, our uncontrolled anger is not just something that is within us, but it affects other people around us. It affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with our friends and our family and other people. When our anger is uncontrolled, it controls us and it affects those around us. Cain let his anger control him rather than controlling his own anger. And Abel had done nothing against Cain. He didn't do anything wrong to Cain, and yet Cain took his anger out on Abel. It wasn't Abel's fault that God didn't accept Cain's offering. But you see, when we get angry, it kind of clouds our mind and we start blaming all of these other things and all of these other people until it controls us and we do things that we shouldn't. Anger separates us from other people. But not only does it affect others around us, our uncontrolled anger affects ourselves. It affects us. After Cain's anger and after he kills his brother, God even provides another opportunity for Cain to repent. You know, he goes to Cain and says, where's your brother? And what does Cain say? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You see how his anger continues to push him away from others and push him away from God. Even when God gives him another chance, he again pushes God away. And you see that Cain suffered the consequences because of his uncontrolled anger. Because of his anger, he suffered the consequences. He was cast out from the land and he was made a wanderer. You see, God punished him for not only his disobedience, but for allowing his anger to control him. If you do not control your anger will control you. That is an important lesson in life for us to learn, because all of us are going to get angry at someone at some point or other. It's going to happen, and it's going to be something that we deal with. And if you do not deal with it properly, you're going to let it control you, and that leads us to sin. It leads us to damaging our relationships with others and with God. And that is what we need to avoid. Anger is a very self-centered thing. When we get angry, most of the time it is because we've been affected in some way or another, and it causes us to be very self-centered. And you look at Cain's relationship with his brother, he was self-centered and self-serving in that he was angry And he did not take the blame. He blamed it on someone else. And to try to get over his anger, he killed his brother. And you see, it is a very self-serving thing. And it's very selfish of us. And it's very self-centered of us to not only get angry about something, but then to express it in such a way that is wrong or hurts others or hurts someone else. And I believe that you can avoid inappropriate anger and uncontrolled anger if you take the focus off of yourself and off of your own wants. See, most of the time we get angry because it deals with something that we want or something that has something to do with ourselves personally. And when we take the focus off of ourselves and off of what we want, then it's going to control that anger a little better. You might get angry at your parents because they don't let you go hang out with so-and-so, or they won't let you go to the show, or they won't let you do something that you really want to do. And so you get really angry with your parents. I remember one day that I was at my house, and I wanted to watch this movie, and something was messed up with the movie, and so I didn't get what I wanted, and I was so very angry that I didn't get what I wanted that I went into my bedroom, and I laid on the bed, and I put my feet up against the wall, and then I just started kicking the wall as hard as I could, and when I did that, the entire wall caved in. I put a huge, huge hole in my bedroom wall. Well, now you understand that my anger led me to do something stupid that I shouldn't have done, and now I'm going to suffer the consequences, and boy, did I. And understand, that is what happens with our anger. When we let it control us, it leads us to do things that we shouldn't, and then we have to suffer the consequences later. I could have handled that my situation a lot differently. You know, I could have looked at it like, you know, this is no big deal. It's just a movie. It's not a big deal to me. It's not going to really affect my life one way or the other. I just don't get to watch it. No big deal. But instead, I let my anger about it control me. And that led to my trouble. It led to my sin and the consequences that I had to suffer. So I want to conclude this message with just kind of a brief overview. Understanding that we as Christians are supposed to give our very best to God, our best attitudes, our best behavior, our best of everything that we have. God is so perfect and holy and so beyond us, and he is so big and so awesome and knows everything and has created everything, and we understand that the best thing that we have to offer to God is our entire lives, everything that we have, everything that we are. And we are to give God our very best and the best that we can do. But when we let things happen, these emotions well up inside of us, and we have this uncontrolled anger that is within us, it affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with others, and it affects us personally. It affects our attitudes and what we sound like and what we do and the way we talk. And if other people around us see how we act when we're angry and it is a bad thing, then now we're a horrible witness to the people around us when we don't deal with those issues. And so this is something that we must learn to give to God. And understanding that God gave Cain a couple chances. He came to Cain first and said, look, you're about to sin. Sin is crouching at your door, but you have a choice. Don't do this. Cain did it anyway. Then he went to Cain and asked, what happened to your brother? And Cain lied about it. And you see, he gives mercy and he gives grace and he gives opportunity. But when we don't take that, when we go to do something else and we fail, we got to suffer the consequences. And that's what we want to avoid. With Cain and Abel, their worship of God was affected by the emotions of Cain. They worshiped God by offering these sacrifices to God, and Cain's sacrifice was not offered with his heart, and so God didn't accept it. And Cain was angry, and so he hurt his brother because of his anger, because his heart wasn't right. And in doing so, he destroyed a lot of things, and he suffered a lot of consequences, and he destroyed the life of his brother. And so, if you think about this, how is your worship? When you worship God, how is your heart? Is your heart right? And when it's not, What do you do in life? How do you affect other people around you? Remember, when you're in the youth group, there are people watching you. There are younger people who look up to you, and they watch what you do and what you say. And when you're in high school, they see what you do, and they see who you are. And if you're not the same person here that you are there, and there's two different sides of you, they're going to look at you and say, you know, that you're a hypocrite. You're not going to be able to affect their life, and you're going to come here and pray in church and talk about God and all of these things, and then go to school and act completely different and act like a heathen. They're going to look at you as a hypocrite. You're not going to be able to affect their life. And in fact, you may affect them so negatively that they may not even want to follow God anymore. And you see, you're leaders. Other people look up to you, and your sin affects people around you. But specifically, anger isn't a sin. Anger is an emotion that we experience. It's not a sin. But what we do with it, how we deal with the anger, it leads to sin. It leads us to do things that we shouldn't do. And so the next time that you begin to feel that emotion, you begin to feel angry, the first thing that you need to do is not say anything, not do anything, just go somewhere to a quiet place and begin to pray to God and say, God, I'm so very angry right now, and I need you to help me. But if you let words come out of your mouth, you're going to say something that you don't want to say. And if you let your anger get to you and you start to do something, you're going to do something that you don't want to do. But if you just back up on the situation, you look at it and you say, wait a minute, this is not that big of a deal. And you go immediately to God and say, God, help me out here. I'm so angry. Then you're going to avoid a lot of the consequences that we may deal with in life because we let anger and sin control us. If you do not control your anger will control you. Remember that. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the students and the people that are listening to this message. And I pray, Lord, that your word would touch their lives, that they would recognize that God, your word is something that affects us in such a way that we can understand it, we can deal with it. We know that your word deals with real life. And I pray, God, that when we come before you, when we worship you, that we are worshiping you with a pure heart, and that we are offering you everything that we have and to the best of our abilities, God. And I pray for those that are listening that you would be with them and that you would lead them and guide them, give them strength to do the right thing, Father. And when we deal with emotions such as anger, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do the right thing, to make the right decisions. And God, when we get in a situation where we begin to get angry, I pray that you would remind us, put this in our mind, remind us that we need to come to you. Give us a way out and help us to come to you and to pray and to get through that situation without sinning. And Lord, I know, Father, that there are so many times that we fail and we suffer those consequences, Lord. And as we do, Father, I pray that it would be a reminder to us that there are consequences to our actions. We affect not only ourselves, but those around us in our relationship with you. I pray, God, that you would continue to seek us out, to increase our relationship with you, to grow that, to make it stronger. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to shape us and mold us and make us more and more like Jesus Christ, your Son. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for our very first podcast. I hope you join us next week as we continue to discuss Genesis.